Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit.
What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, once again repping for the dope dads out there. Thank you once again for tuning in. If you know me, you know I'm a huge fan of hip-hop. I'm not just a fan, I am hip-hop. I was raised during the golden era of it in the South Bronx, so I love it. It's what's raised me, it's what gave me hope. And today I'm super honored to have somebody that's doing some dope moves in the hip-hop world. Today I got the homie Vic Medina, who is also an executive at Roc Nation. What's good, Vic?
What's going on, my brother? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. You know, we were talking before this actual interview. I have to thank you. I know you don't like doing interviews like this. You're not that type of dude, and I'm so honored to have you on here, bro, for real.
Absolutely. Anything for other fathers, for the father culture, brother.
Yeah, let me ask you something, man. You know, I'm from the South Bronx, and when I was growing up, my dad used to tell me, don't advertise your moves. Just do them, because you never know who's watching. Is that why you don't do too many interviews? Is it one of those things like when you were growing up, you were raised to not to be out there too much?
It's more or less the same reason. I mean, my belief is the more they know, the more they can use against you.
Okay.
You know, so I've just been very quiet with my personal life. I actually didn't want any kind of social media prior to my ownership of my nightclub or whatever. That's the only reason I even opened up an Instagram. And then after we closed it, I never closed my account. I actually kind of got addicted to the whole IG life. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, the more they know, the more they can use against you, man. Trust me.
Is that something that you're actively teaching your son? Like, I know you have a boy and a stepson, so you got two boys. Is this something that you're actively teaching them? Like, are you actively teaching them, like, hold some of this back? Because, you know, the world is so social right now.
I think that my stepson, he's of the age that'll be able to understand some of the stuff we'll be talking about today. I try to teach him more or less what I was taught. For me, my father was, like, the quiet, the one that like, checks you with his eyes, basically. Mm-hmm. But the communicator of my family was my mother, you know what I mean? And my mother always taught me what her father taught her was never show your last card, you know what I mean? Like, always keep one card face down, you feel me? Because, you know, you always got to have some mystery in your life. You always got to keep people on their toes, because once they know your patterns, they know your habits, you know, I believe you can never really trust nobody, brother. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's just how it is. Family, friends, all that.
Yeah, that's the same way I was raised. Same way I was raised. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the trust is thin. You know what I mean? Like, but then you have the people that you fully trust, that you'll give them the world. Like, they know everything about you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I give everybody a clean plate from the jump, you know. It's up to you to, you know what I'm saying, hang yourself, basically. So I try to give everybody a honest, unjudged, you know, opportunity to let me know who they are, you know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, you know, things happen in life that cause you to become more cautious about your moves and whatnot.
Yeah. You know, you brought up something really good, man, about, like, you give people a clean plate to show you who they are.
Right.
With the way the kids are using social media, it's very easy to be fooled, right? Where you can meet somebody that has 200,000 viewers and you think they're really putting in work, but they just purchased all of those likes or the users, right? Like, how are you teaching your kids to sort of speak, keep it real? Like, this is like a lost art right now. Like, people aren't really keeping it real no more. You know what I mean? Like, they got to go online and buy followers. Just to seem important.
Prior to being the father, I was like the godfather of a bunch of my best friends' children, you know. And So I made it my big business to always kind of like teach younger kids what I was taught. You know what I'm saying? I grew up on a predominantly male block. You know what I'm saying? So my block was I'm from Soundview.
Okay.
BX. I was born in Washington Heights on 174th and Audubon, and my pops bought a house in Soundview in the Bronx, which is where I pretty much witnessed the world, my growth. You know what I'm saying? That's where I pretty much became a man on the street side. I was taught by the older guys on the block, and I always made it. It was very important for me to, you know, follow that tradition to the younger kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as far as teaching them not to show too much, that's almost impossible nowadays because everybody got a phone, everybody's going live, everybody's doing things. But, you know, there's got to be some mystery. I try to teach. There's got to be some mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So growing up in Soundview, like that's the South Bronx. For people that don't know, I was raised not too far from there. I was raised on Jackson Avenue, the 2 and the 5 train near St. Mary's Park.
Okay.
And I went to school at Jane Addams in Intervale. One thing that my dad used to do was that he used to keep me on the block. Like I used to be on the block, and I learned from the OGs, like the OGs mm-hmm. that were doing the wrong thing, right? But surviving. Mm-hmm. But then he also had me mm-hmm. learning from the crack addicts and everybody else that lived in the PJs. You know what I mean? How important do you think it is to have people around you to help raise your kids too, like the village?
It's very important. Shit, I grew up in an era where if your mother or your father told their neighbor, yo, if you see this guy doing something, you know, you got free reign, put check him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you were worried about what this one was saying, this one was watching, she was gonna tell your mother, you know, things like that. So you had eyes everywhere that were gonna go to your parents. Mm-hmm. I think the difference right now is that in most of these neighborhoods, you don't even know your neighbors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the kids know each other, but the parents don't know each other. So there's no communication between parents. So when it comes to that, there's no one looking out for anyone's kids. The parent will just mostly say nowadays, don't hang with this one. Don't hang with that one. So kids are communicating. They're getting together secretly. You know what I'm saying? So shit's just on the low everywhere, you know?
Yeah. That's
sad, man.
It's sad because, you're right, because I remember we used to play in front of the projects, right? And we had this older man that used to be at the window. He was like on the third or fourth mm-hmm. floor. And mm-hmm. when we would make too much noise, he would throw water at us. You know what I mean? Like the hot water or the cold water. Now if one of my neighbors throws water at my kids, we fighting.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
That neighbor... Not even that. I mean, they call the cops on them, and probably, you know, there'll be something happening. You know what I'm saying? That'll be considered child abuse.
It's changing, bro, and it's insane. Like we're losing like that community, you know, that community togetherness, like that vibe where people look out for each other. And that's one thing that I loved from the hood, bro. Like coming up in the hood, like I always knew somebody had my back. Now living in a white picket fence in Staten Island, the only people that got my back is my family. You know what I mean?
Right.
Crazy, man. It's crazy. So, you know, you coming from the BX, man. You know, I'm gonna take a turn on the interview real quick. You came up during rough times. I'm gonna assume you in your 40s like I am.
I just turned 40. I just turned 42.
Look at that, 42. Happy belated, man. I just turned 40 also.
Thank you.
And you know, growing up, like we had the block to hold us down. We had our friends to hold us down, right? Do you see kids now holding each other down as much as we used to hold each other down when we were growing up?
I mean,
like, do they have that same loyalty? You know what I mean?
To be honest with you, I can't say that. No, I can't say that. But then again, you know, we grew out of. I moved to Jersey. So I moved out of the hood. So I'm pretty disconnected to what the communities are like right now. Mm-hmm. It's it's pretty sad that I have to say that, but the honestly, we grew up so that we didn't have to deal with the type of shit that we had to deal with in the hood. You know what I'm saying? So we left. Like, I had to leave because I wanted better for myself. And now that I have a son, you know, I wanted better for him. But at the same time, I want him to know where he came from. You understand? So yeah. I try to always stay in touch with my family in the Bronx or my family in Uptown or whatever. But as far as the community and that loyalty, that's got to be still there, because you see a lot of groups congregating together. You know, some of these artists that I deal with, they have tons of friends, and, you know, it's all about, you know, they know what a unit can do together. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now these units are probably considered gangs. You know what yeah. I'm saying? So it never was about gangs with us. It was just like about my block versus another block. And we would play football against each other or play manhunt against, you know, the blocks or whatever. But now it's a little bit different, man. It's turned up a couple of notches.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it perfectly, man. There's two things there. Like you said you worked hard to get your family out of that situation where now they don't have right. to worry about the things that we had to worry about. So right. first of all, how good does that feel, bro?
It feels good, but I was exposed to it very early mm-hmm. because I went to Xavier Academy. I went to military school.
What?
So
where's that yeah. at? Where is that?
That's on 16th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. Okay. It was a military Jesuit school. So I would have to take the train to the school in my military uniform. I remember going on the train in high school and wearing my uniform and I knowing which high schools were on which stops. You know what I'm saying? Because people get on the train, you know, and she would get live or whatever. So it came to a point where I was like not wearing my uniform on the train and getting dressed at school because I didn't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so I went to school with a lot of like Italians, you know, pretty much Italians and white boys, Irish, you know, and my father, then again, he became a super on Park Avenue on the Upper East Side. Mm-hmm. So he had an apartment there, and you know, you really didn't want to make your father look bad, so you had to dress, you know, you had to act a certain type of way, mm-hmm. you had to speak a certain way. So I learned early the value of adaptability.
Yeah.
You know, cool. So you know when you go see your friends in the Bronx, you had to act a certain way, it's communicate a certain way. And when you were chilling with the white folks on the Upper East Side, you had to, you know, present yourself a certain way so that they don't judge you, not even judge you, but judge your parents.
Yeah, judge the people around you.
You had to represent, you know, exactly. So I was able to adapt. I learned the value of adaptability, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was real ill. It was very, I mean, but also living in New York, brother, you got all kinds of people, you know what I'm saying? So you couldn't live on 96th Street. You know, everything south of 96 is, you know, considered Harlem, Spanish, or, you know, regular Black Harlem. Then you had the Upper East Side, which all the white, you know what I'm saying, rich, whatever. But everybody's crossing each other's paths. So you had to, you wanted to get somewhere, you wanted to go somewhere, you wanted to be a part of something, you had to learn to adapt to what your situation was. Yeah. I think that was that's my superpower.
I think for us to succeed, mm-hmm. especially in places like New York City, that has to be your superpower. Like we call it, you know, right. in tech, we call it code switching. And that's what I do.
Right.
Like if I go into a meeting yeah. with some executives in suits, you know, I know to switch it up. Even if I'm not in a suit, mm-hmm. my vernacular is going to be completely different. You know what I mean? Where now absolutely. I'm showing them that, yo, I'm just as educated as you and maybe more. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then when I come back yep. to my hood friends, you know, it changes. And it's funny because when I go back to my hood friends, sometimes I forget. And I'm talking to them like right. I'm talking to somebody in a meeting. And they're looking at mm-hmm. me like, what the fuck?
Like, yeah, but that's
what are
dope.
You doing?
You know that's dope. I love shocking people. I love shocking people with my knowledge. I love shocking people with my value, with my values. I love shocking people with my vocabulary. Like, those are the things that that's my number one mission with the raising of my son. I want him to be able to understand adaptability and really, you know when to turn it on and when to turn it off and when to speak and when not to speak. And that's the best. That's the best. I think that's the best thing you could teach your kids.
Yeah. And also on that point, when you're teaching them the differences, you know, on how to speak to different people, you also have to remind them that we're all different in the way that we speak, but we're still people, right? Where sometimes, absolutely, like, I'll get some of my friends from the hood and they'll tell me, yo, like, why are you talking to this white dude? Like, he don't care about us. And it's like, mm-hmm, nah, he actually mm-hmm does care mm-hmm about us. You're just not giving him the mm-hmm opportunity. You know right what I mean? So it's almost like we got to right also learn how to say, not only when do we turn it off, but who deserves what side of us? You know what I mean? Like, right, how do we keep it right true to ourselves while still not making it awkward for them? Because what's real for us isn't real for them.
You know what's the fucked up shit about it is, though, that when you used to get pulled over by a cop in the hood, or you got stopped by a cop in the hood, you knew to turn it on.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you weren't talking to the cop that was fucking with you the same way you was talking to the guy on the block. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So you had to do the sirs. You had to do the officers. Like, there was that little thing that kind of switched when you were speaking to certain people. So everybody pretty much has it in them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's just adapting, man. Survival.
Yeah. How this is a question that always gets me, man. Like, how, you know, like, for me coming from the South Bronx, you know, my son never has to experience, or chances are he'll never have to experience some of the things that we experienced growing up. Right. How do you keep them still humble enough to understand that where you came up from was a bad environment, but it wasn't bad? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, absolutely. It definitely does.
Like, I love my old neighborhood. Like, I was raised in the South Bronx near the concourse. I love it, man. Mm-hmm. These were people that were still striving to be the best, but society didn't consider them to be the best. So I'm always trying to catch myself trying to teach my son where it's like, we're going back to the hood, but don't think that because we're going back to the hood, you're better than them. You just have a better situation.
Right. And even that, I'm very torn about, because remember, I come from the Bronx and we lived in Washington Heights. So my uncle still lives in the apartment where I was born, mm-hmm, uptown. And, you know, it was one of the biggest drug blocks in all of Washington Heights. And so, you know, you would feel my pops fucking moved to Park Avenue, man.
Yeah.
So
you know, it was the difference.
Ill because, yeah, there's a huge difference. And then, you know, you would have to go back to the block where the kids was, you know, fucked up basically. And, you know, you never wanted to be judged, and my parents from the day one never made me feel like I was better than anyone. You know what I'm saying? So they kept me grounded in the sense that I still, to this day, I'm equal to, I never feel like anyone's better than me, and I never feel like anyone's less than me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you always keep it on a level plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a must. It's a must. It's something that,
yeah, absolutely,
that you have to do automatically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you gotta use it. It's simple shit, bro. Like, you know, you driving through Harlem. Like, you know, hey, that we used to do that. Really, Dad? You used to do that? Shit, we went to Yankee Stadium. Funniest shit. Went to Yankee Stadium about a year ago. Well, a year ago, we didn't go this year yet. But we go in it in the year. We went in last year in the dead heat of summer, and I'm with my compadre and his kids, my god kids, and my stepson. And I think it was like 167th Street around there by university, one of them blocks, whatever. They had the pump open.
Mm-hmm.
And there was kids playing with the bikes and the pumps or whatever, the water hydrant. And the kids were like, Dad, what's that? And they were asking the father, like, what's that? What are they doing? Like, how are they playing with that, with the water like that in the middle of the street? Like, what's going on? And we were like, what? I was like, what? We used to take baths in that water. Like, that was the best water. We used to drink that water. We used to play all day in that water. That was our park, because there was no parks where we grew up at. You know what I'm saying? So that was my park. You know, so we played in the fire hydrant. And I was like, yo, let's get out and play. It's still wet, like, you know. And I remembered we was going to the baseball game, so we couldn't actually get out and like touch the water. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, you couldn't get soaked.
It was ill. We promised them that we would go back. Like, the father actually told me, like, yo, Vic, please one day take us back so we could do that. I was like, hell yeah. This is where we came from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's our roots.
Now that's dope because, you know, I've seen you come up, and, you know, you're not a regular dude anymore, bro. Even though you're a regular dude, you're surrounded by a lot of dope people, right? And
yeah, but believe it or not, man, fuck that bullshit.
You
man.
Still come everybody back. That, you still I'm, come back.
Everybody comes back. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah, that's the way we teach our kids not only to be humble, but to appreciate where you came from. You know what I mean? Like, now we get to actually show them. We get to relive that. Right. And that shit is dope, bro.
Yeah. Well, that's how we are at The Rock. You know what I'm saying? We are family. Mm-hmm. Nobody is very, we don't really have positions, whatever. Like, people have positions, but we are family, you know? And if you're not like the way, if you don't think the way we think, then we can't consider you part of our family. You understand? So everybody pretty much knows humble. You know, everybody got to be humble. Nobody acts like they're better than anyone. Even Jay, man. Jay is like, he's one of us, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane. It's crazy. But that's the specialty. That's the special part of the whole Rock family.
Well, you mentioned being humbled. You mentioned almost like going back to your roots, right? And teaching your kids that way. Mm-hmm. One thing that I get with my son is that he's here in Staten Island, and he doesn't get to do like the rough play with kids. You know, like, we used to go outside and slap box, right? We used to slap box each other. We used to learn how to be real physical. I want him to be tough and be able to protect himself. But in the environment that we're in, that's not something that we work on every day. How do you keep your sons to still have that mentality of, you're not just gonna push me over. If we gotta throw down, we're gonna throw down. You know what I mean? Like, how do you teach them to stand up for themselves?
By doing that with them directly. You know what I mean? Like, showing them that there's gonna be a day where something's gonna happen and you're gonna have to defend yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of the big arguments that I have with my girl right now, because, you know, she's more of like this talk things through, you know. You know, you gotta really, like, you can't yell at the kids, you can't hit them, you can't do none of that. But, you know, and I love the whole speaking things through, but there are times where you gotta show your hand, you gotta show your force. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, basically teach them that should be the last resort. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, like, if somebody pushes you, or somebody hits you, you defend yourself. You know what I'm saying? But until that happens, you know, you got to try to either walk away or, you know, try to outsmart that person, you know, somehow.
Wow. Yeah, not it's true. 100%. 100%.
My son loves boxing. So from early, he's going to learn to fight. You know what I'm saying? So, but I also believe, like, my girl doesn't like that I teach him to box. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to know them. The boxers are probably the most disciplined people on this planet. You know what I'm saying? So they don't use it unless it's absolutely a necessity.
Yeah.
And then if they have to do it, then you know that that's a wrap for whoever they're doing it with. But I believe boxers are some of the most disciplined people on this planet.
Well, I think you have a huge story to tell, bro. I think when your kids are at that level where they're saying, yo, you know, somebody tested me, I might want to beat them up. I think you could go back and say, yo, I got Jim Jones, Ciroc Nation, bro.
Yeah.
Like, these guys did not like each other, and I got them to sit down and be men. Be men and get over.
Get over. Absolutely.
And I think that's the luxury of now you could tell them, yo, dad did this. Yeah. Like, dad could put the beats, but we also did it the other way. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And that's huge. We got guys still, there's people, Juan's nephew's still in jail behind a Dipset Rockefeller beat.
What?
Like, there's people doing time behind that.
Yo, you know, that's crazy. I grew up in New York, and I never took that beef. Like, I knew it was serious, but I didn't I didn't know the consequences. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know people actually suffered from it, and that sucks, bro. That sucks big time.
In the streets of Harlem, it went down. It went down because, you know, especially uptown, because it was like, I remember having to like really stand up for OG Juan one time. In a club, like, you know, dude was trying to talk shit or whatever, and, you know, it went down. Like, we had to fight, like, basically. But it was people that from the outside, you know what I'm saying? So it was never like a direct, you know, direct people. People like to take on problems that they don't know shit about.
Yeah,
you know what
just to be part of it. Just to be part of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, it's like, that's something we got to teach our kids with. It's like, yo, let me teach you how to be loyal to the right people. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just jump out the window and go fight because you want somebody to get, you want to get somebody's attention. You go and you fight for somebody because you're loyal to that person. You know what I mean?
Well, now they, I mean, you put on the news that you got a lot to lose if you fight it nowadays. Yeah. You know, some people's getting stabbed, people getting shot, so. At least back when we was growing up, you know, there was more throw the hands, you know, you was getting jumped, but you wasn't getting stabbed and jumped.
You
was fighting, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, no, kids are crazy now, bro. It's like I always tell my wife, like, sooner or later, somebody might rob my son for his pair of Yeezys, right? I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Rob him, smack him in the face. But yo, don't kill my son, bro, over a pair of sneakers. You know what I mean? Like, yo, you beat him up, cool. You embarrassed him, cool. We'll go buy him another pair of sneakers. But don't beat him up, rob him, and stab him. And it's like the kids are just not thinking. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't believe in the consequences.
It's crazy that you say that. Like, just hearing you say, like, these are things that we would never tolerate. We never would be able to tolerate coming up. But because now we have children, we learned that we have to tolerate certain things. Like, for you to say rob him because you don't want him to be shot or stabbed, like, that's just, it's bugged the fuck out.
It's crazy,
blowing my mind right now. This conversation is blowing my mind right now, because, you know, we sometimes you invert a lot of the feelings that you have for your children. So, you know, so and things that you want to, you know, put in play for them.
Yeah.
But actually talking about it is very important.
This is dope.
This is dope that we get to talk about this and share this knowledge and with other people. So I'm honored to do this interview with you, brother. Forever.
Thank you, man. You know, the first time I heard of you, bro, it was at a charity event. and it was you, Just Blaze, and I think Swagger Dad, Danny, was there. And it was an event with CC Sabathia, where CC was, he does the charity softball game. And it was funny. It was funny because I got Swagger Dad those tickets. Like, I got a whole bunch for the dads and their kids. It was about 50 of us. And that dude is crazy, bro. That dude jumped in through the press side. We went with all the stars.
He's
chilling. And I see you there, and it's like, yo, not only is this dope because all of us are in the same vicinity or the same building, but we were all there for a good cause. So how are you making sure to tell your kids, yo, you could give back, and it could be some dope ways like the CC Sabathia charity softball game?
Well, I think I was the only one with my kid there. You know what I'm saying? So I was walking around the whole stadium with my 1-year-old child. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I really, like, because I know Moya Swagger Dad, like, for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
But it was ill because that same day, it was me, Matt, and Just, we were talking about, you know, we all were new fathers, basically.
Yeah.
Just Blaze had just had his son. He was around the same age as, he was a year older than my son. But we were talking about, you know, the new experiences that we were having as fathers. You know, we used to live in the studios till like 7 o'clock in the morning every day.
You were hustling.
And now we're fathers. Yeah, we was really making it, making history. And we didn't even really, you know what I'm saying? We was making history at the time. It's history now, but now we're fathers, and it's like the whole game changed. And how are we gonna, you know, like people in the streets will be like, damn, Vic, you somebody, but to my son, I'm just dad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
it's trippy, like, you know, these new kids, they won't grow up understanding what we did or what we went through unless we keep up that message alive, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy, though, because I saw you there, and you actually tagged us on Instagram, and you wrote, like, we're going to start, like, this dad console, or, like, the dad gang, mm-hmm. and it was like, yo, father, yeah, this yeah, man, yeah. swagger dad. And I saw that, and I was like, yo, that is so dope to see that of people, you know, these are people, you guys are people that hang out with some of our favorite people, but you took that day to chill with your son.
Right.
Over chilling with celebrities.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't do that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't do that celebrity, you know, Instagram and posting pictures and things like that, because in all honesty, that means you ain't really doing it for you. I mean, I do it for me, but my memories, I like to keep them to me and the person. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't need to show off that I'm cool with such and such a person. You know what I'm saying? People know. And you know what's crazy is that I might regret it, because I wish I had a picture with Just Blaze. That's my man. Like, I call him, but I never took a picture with Just. I have, like, maybe 3 pictures with Jay. And I might not be able to show my son that, yo, these are my guys.
Like I know them. I just don't know them. These are my people.
Like, nigga, I used to drive Kanye West home after the studio. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, but those will just be words. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
I do that with my son now. Like, you know, my oldest he's 13. So when he sees me talking to somebody famous, or, you know, somebody in the tech scene that people deem that matters, he could actually look at them and say, wow, dad, like, you know them?
Yeah.
My youngest, they could care less. And I'm the same way. I don't do pictures, bro. I don't do pictures. Like, if you see me in a picture, it's either with my kids or that other person asked for the picture. You know what I mean?
I think about it too,
where it's like, damn, there's days that I want to pull out a picture and be like, yo, Jaden, like, you know, you go to Yankee Stadium, I actually know this player. Like, we could call him and say hi, but I don't have that proof.
Right.
And it's like, damn, that sucks. But in actuality, it doesn't suck, because you could just call them. And that's worth more than the picture to me. You know what I mean?
Well, this is so true. So true. Mm. And you, just some of the shit that you're saying right now is like, you know, it's bugged out, because everybody wants to do clothing lines and, you know, do this and do that. And what's bugged out is that after I had my son, you know, I would go shop. I would shop for him online and try to get fly shit. It was pretty difficult to do things like that. But I wanted to create a clothing line for children. Right. Mm. Plus, so my selling point was always this. Like, I know guys that have print shops, and I know guys that want to do design and do designs and shit. But my selling point for, on a business level, let's talk father business. Uh-huh. All right. I know Jay. I know Just Blaze. I know, you know, we all know fathers that are celebrities, right? People give celebrities things for free
all the time.
How often do you see them wearing the shit that they receive for free? Very rarely.
Hardly. Yeah.
Hardly ever. You know, so it's become a habit for the celebrity person to receive something and just toss it to the side. Jim gets shit all the time. He tosses it to the side, But now, if you approach someone and say, yo, I made this for your son. Well, I made this for, if somebody were to tell me, Vic, I made this for you. But it would be totally different if the person were to say, yo, Vic, I made this for your son.
Yeah.
When you say something for our kids now that's like personal. Now it's like, yo, this person was thinking more than just me. They were thinking about my son. So you look at that person with a little bit more value, a little bit more, you know, like, who are you? Who, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just like, you just more attention. So, you know, when you father business, mm-hmm. that's our number one priority is our children.
Yep.
Right?
Number
true
one.
True fathers.
Yep.
So if you take care of my son, that means you take, I'm taking care of me.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So if this is like a formula now that I'm trying to, you know what I mean? Like, if you got to stop talking about giving something to somebody and they wear it, you make it more personal now. You get their attention. You build a relationship that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just a whole nother level of things. You gotta. It's big, man.
It's crazy. You even talk about the business of fatherhood, bro, because I deal with so many groups that are in the business, you know, quote unquote, of fatherhood, but mm-hmm. they're not in the business of helping dads. Like, I tell everybody online, and it gets me into a lot of beef, bro. Like, people send me DMs and emails all the time because they think I'm throwing shots at them. But I tell people all the time, mm-hmm. I don't sell T-shirts. I don't do that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not in this game to sell T-shirts. I'm in this game to help dads. If a T-shirt comes out of my business, cool. But that's not my main business. But then I got dads that just want to sell me T-shirts all day long. And I'm like, dude, your number one T-shirt is just like this other guy. How does that help me become a better father? You know what I mean? And they hate me.
No, they hate me,
but it's the truth. It's like, yo, how?
They're just looking for a dollar. But
it's crazy.
But everything is about approach.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, everything is about approach. There's nothing wrong with making a dollar off fatherhood. But you have to have a message behind what you're selling.
Yeah.
You understand? And knowing that a man is gonna want a T-shirt. I'm gonna want a T-shirt, but I'm not gonna want to see the next guy wearing the same shit I'm wearing in the club. You feel me?
Yeah.
But it's different for kids. A little boy sees something on another boy, he's gonna say, "Dad, I want that."
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So you just sold two. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's money in children, you know, but you have to have the right message.
Right approach. That's why I don't know if you ever heard of the brand. I think they call We Are Little Giants. They're based out of I love them, man.
I think they're in Brooklyn, no?
Yeah, they're in Brooklyn. I interviewed their founder, Ivan, and that's why I mess with his brand, because his brand isn't about just selling you a T-shirt. It's about the message that came with it. Which is, let's throw some hip hop in there. You know what I mean? Let's throw these Biggie quotes. You know what I mean? Let's throw these things, the Wu-Tang quotes. And that's what I like, where it was like, all right, this dude he's not trying to sell to dads. He's trying to sell to children. But it's a message that a dad likes.
Yeah. And it's an extension of the culture.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he did a hat, the Little Duns or something.
Yeah, the Little Duns.
That shit was dope. I love that.
The Dun language.
Dun language.
And that's dope. You can't hate on that, because he's not trying to like just sell you a T-shirt. He's selling you a culture. Like, you're part of this culture. We want to wear things that represent us. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to ask you another couple questions, because I don't want to take up too much of your time. But you were there to see Jay-Z perform his first concert at the Barclays. But you were also able to jump on a plane with your niece and surprise her to Disney. Surprise her with a trip to Disney.
Right.
Yo, which one felt better?
Yeah.
Bro? Which one felt better?
Oh, my niece.
I love it, man.
All
I love
day.
It. I love it. I love
All
it.
Day.
Yo,
All day.
Yo, how was that? What y'all did? Y'all just set up, y'all just jumped on a flight and didn't tell her where y'all were going?
Yeah, she found out when we got on the plane. Like,
oh, that is so dope, bro.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Oh, that is
so dope. We took her to see a Justin Bieber show at the Apollo.
Uh-huh.
And that was like, she didn't know what she was going for. Like, you know, and it was a Justin Bieber show.
Yo,
so it was like,
so
I mean, kids, they just, I took my son to see Blippi the other day.
I saw your pictures. Wasn't he dressed like him too? Like, didn't he have like
dressed like him and everything. I mean, you're talking about a year and a half old child, a 2 year old child. And the excitement in their faces is priceless, bro. It's like the arrival. you know what I'm saying? When you can make somebody happy like that.
Yo, how crazy is it that you'll go to a show like Blippi, right? At any time of the day,
you won't do
anything else.
I won't go to a Dipset show.
How crazy is that, bro? How crazy is that? Like that motivation, that inspiration that the kids give you, right? Where it's like, yo, I want to go do something with these guys.
I know. It's crazy. The control is control. Yeah. Like, you try to do things with them, man. It's about doing shit with them, man. I don't want to miss a moment. That's where fatherhood is lit. Fatherhood is so lit because when you was lit back in the days, you didn't want to miss a night out. You didn't want to miss a club. Yo, you saw that? You didn't want to miss a moment. You didn't want to miss a show. You didn't want to miss a studio session. That was being lit. Being lit is being in the moment, being at the hot spot at the right time in the right place. Now, fatherhood is so lit that you want to be at the right moment for your son. Watch him the first time he picks up a toy. Watch him the first time he, you know, he unscrews a little screw out of his car. That's lit to me now.
Dogs, you just gave me that drop that mixtape people like DJ Clue would have begged for. They would have been in the streets begging, like, yo, give me a drop.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, bro. One last one. Before we started this conversation, you talked about the presence and the exposure of like having a dad around. And you mentioned that a lot of the people you used to date, they didn't even have fathers or they had stepdads. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I thought that was really, really dope to hear about like your first experiences was sometimes with a stepdad.
Right. So, you know, I'm 42 years old and I never, like you see on TV, like, you know, you got to talk to the dad if you could take her to a prom or, you know, you want to talk to the father to see, you know, the father's always being the tough guy in the front. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? That was defending the girl. I never experienced that my whole life. I never had to like speak to a girl's father before, like meet the father, you know, never was taught, you know, to be cautious because her dad was going to do something to me or whatever, you know? So, yeah. I never had to do that my whole life. I never had to do that. And the only time that I actually was around a male figure that was a guardian of a girl that I was dating was a stepfather, a girl's stepfather. And they had children. She had siblings that were from the mother's side only, you know what I'm saying? So it was like a stepfather, but they lived all together, you know, type shit.
Yeah.
And there was a disconnect, you know, it wasn't like beautiful, but it wasn't like she was his blood. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was still a little separation there.
Yeah. It was pretty sad, man. It's sad because I think some of the most important, you know, moments of my life was being around my father. I mean, shit, the only person on this planet that can make me cry is my father. Mm-hmm. You understand? And I mean, we could talk about the stupidest shit, stupidest little commercial father-son, you know, things, you know, and that was like, now I'm like, I understand everything that my father was telling me about, or all the moments that, or the emotions that he was living through. And, you know, and now I understand everything. I understand. I see what he sees. I feel his pain, you know, and that's emotional, man. That's very powerful, powerful, powerful shit.
That's real.
You know, I'm at the age right now when I was, you know, my father and my mother have been together since they was in elementary school, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm at the age right now when my father, where I looked at my father as if he was like a grown up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I'm like, did they really just wing it the same way I'm winging it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so yeah.
You think that our parents, they knew everything, that they knew it all. But in all honesty, you know, everybody's just out here winging it, brother. Trying to do the best,
figuring it out.
Trying to do the best that we do, that we can.
Yeah, I like to tell people. I like to tell people all the time, man. Like as parents, what we do is we provide a foundation, and then it's our kids' turn to take that foundation and build something on top of it, or just modify mm-hmm. the foundation. That's all we can do. Like, we can't give them the whole blueprint because we don't know it.
Right.
So we wing it, we figure it out, and then hopefully they'll do better than us. And I think I think your dad would be, I think your parents would be, and I think they are very proud of what you're doing, bro, for real.
Because yeah,
it takes a real one. It takes a real one to be a father and to step up, and you're doing that, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. Thank you. And this is really dope that what you're doing, brother. This is really dope.
Thank you.
We need more of this. We need more of this. It was just something I was watching the other day. Just things in general, man. Like I watched this All American. You seen that show?
All American. No, I haven't. Is it good? It's good.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a great show.
Where is that? Netflix? You know,
that's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. There's a kid growing up without a dad, you know what I'm saying? And he wants to go to a better school, so he has to live with another person, another family. And his coach is the father in that family. So his coach kind of plays his father figure. You know, so it's really positive black entertainment, positive, you know, it's real good. Stuff like that needs to be more, we need to have more of.
I'm going
to
check it out.
You know, so, definitely. Fatherhood is lit and definitely needs to do a review on All American.
I'm going to start doing that, man. I'm going back to the writing. Like, I stopped writing to do more audio. But I'm home and I got a lot to get off my chest. So I'm going.
And you're gonna keep having shit on your chest because, as a father knows, that every day is a new page, brother. We never stop learning. We never stop being surprised by our children. That's the fun part of it, man. I can't believe there's men out there that don't see, that don't appreciate their firsts, their kids' firsts. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That are missing that.
Yeah, tooth coming out, bro. The first time they sleep in their own bed. Ooh, the first graduation.
My son peed in the potty yesterday for the first time.
Oh, you were doing that. You were doing the happy dance.
We was wilding. We threw a quarantine club party, man, in the house.
What you threw on some merengue, bro? You threw on some Rock Nation stuff, bro.
I love throwing everything. That's another thing, man. My son's gonna know how to speak Spanish. He's gonna know what merengue is. He's gonna know what salsa is. He gotta know, man. Gotta know. If you ain't teaching your children, we got all the tools, man. Why would you not share all your tools?
Yeah.
You understand? You gotta share all the tools. It's ridiculous how people, you can't be so blinded, man. You gotta take advantage of everything that we have. We live in New York City, man.
Yeah.
We are a melting pot. Make sure they love to eat all kinds of foods. Make sure they love to, you know, do all kinds of things. Because the world is getting smaller and smaller. And the less you know, the worse you're going to be off in the future. You got to make sure they know everything as much as possible.
That's a fact.
Exposure.
Man. That's a fact. And especially here in New York City, where exposure could be you walking down two blocks. You walk down two blocks, it's completely different. Like, you can go from the hood to a million-dollar crib in a matter of seconds. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep. Well, shit. Go to Chelsea. You got Chelsea Project across the street. There's fucking million-dollar apartments. There's an old lady living in Chelsea Projects paying $300 a month, and the guy across the street is paying $36,000 a month. You know what I'm saying?
It's insane.
It's all about real ill.
So, yo, we gonna wrap up, man. What's next for you? First of all, what's next for you? Are you just gonna keep making history of Rock Nation, or are we gonna get that clothing line one day? What's good?
Well, I've been doing a lot of things outside of. I've been doing a lot of things on the low. I just started this company called Vamos Pay.
Okay.
Vamos Pay is a prepaid debit card that you can control via your app and have, you know, give a card to your son. And instead of handing him cash, he uses the card to buy things, and you limit it and you monitor where he spends his money.
I like that.
You know,
like
that. There's also a way that people don't have to go to check cashing places and be charged $7, whatever they charge at a check cashing place. You have cash on hand. Give a card to your grandmother in DR, and you transfer money to her instead of having to send money through Western Union or sending cash to her in another country.
And this is so instant. This is instant.
Yeah, it's called Vamos Pay. I just did the deal with Romeo Santos.
Oh, Mr. Aventura.
Yeah, he just he signed the deal. He's now promoting it fully. Cardi B is involved. We have Chicharito, the soccer player, involved. Mm-hmm. And we're about to do a deal with the Ace family. They're like a YouTube family.
Yeah.
Pretty popping. So, yeah, man, that's my... So you're taking it to the tech. My stamp.
You're taking it to the tech side, man. I like it.
Yeah, banking, you know.
Yeah, banking. We're underrepresented, bro. We're underrepresented in banking.
Yeah, so we're doing that on a Latino side. It's called Vamos Pay. Dope. So take a look out for that. That'll be coming up real soon.
For sure. Yeah, I saw you posted about it the other day.
Yeah, we finally got the clearance from the bank to go full force with that. So
that's dope as hell.
You'll be seeing commercials and shit on TV and whatnot, hopefully.
Nah, that's dope as hell. And it's like you said earlier, like it goes along with the story, right? Where it's like a lot of us are underrepresented when it comes to banking, meaning that a lot of us don't know how to open up an account. We don't know how to manage money. We don't know what capital interest is. The simplest thing out there, we don't know. So this is a way to expose people to a new world.
Yeah,
where it's like, you don't gotta just do it like you used to do it. There's new ways, bro. You know what I mean? Let's learn something while we're doing it.
The card has no ATM fees for like 100,000 ATMs, you know, so you definitely be it's dope, man. It's real good. Trust me, if it wasn't for the betterment of our people, I would never be involved with it.
That's what's up, man. You know, anything you need from my side, man, you know what to do, man. You DM me, you text me, you do whatever you got to do, and I'm there.
you will be hearing from me soon. Don't worry about that, because we need to stick together, my brother. We need to stick together, help each other out.
That's right, and I do it for the kids. I do it for tech, and you're doing the same, bro. So anything you need. Yeah. And how can people – what's the best way for people to reach you? Is it through Instagram?
Oh, yeah, they could reach me on Instagram, you know.
Mr. Vic Medina, right?
I don't really – yeah, Mr. Vic Medina on IG.
Yeah. You could catch Vic in the morning sometimes. Well, not now because of the corona, but you sometimes you could catch him on live listening to Merengue.
Yeah. You know, people bug out because, you know, this nigga Rock Nation, but he's always listening to Spanish music. Rock Nation is not just, you know.
Yo,
you
they had,
do it all, bro.
They had Rock Latino before too, bro. Like, did people forget?
Yeah.
Like, forget.
We had Rock La Familia, man.
That's right.
We had Rock La Familia.
That's right. When they got thrown was popping big time, man. That's a classical day, man. Well, Vic,
that was
man.
My artist, Aztec.
Ooh, Aztec?
Aztec was my artist.
What you know?
True life.
Yo, you know what's funny, bro? A lot of people don't know this about me. I used to mess with this dude named Encendio Webb from the Heights. And
that's my man.
Yeah, Louis.
My man, promoter. He became a promoter.
Dude, we were the first people to do a reggaeton concert in the Bronx. It was at, I think it was Paradise Theater in Fordham. It was the first one. We had Hector Fada. We had, the second one we did was in the Heights and it had Tego in it. Like, it was at the peak. You know what I mean? Mm. And it was crazy because it was, those are the times that I wish I could have taken my son to see that. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm gonna take you further back. I was the first person, my sister and I were the first people to have Latin and hip hop performances. Like there was a couple, we started a company called Pure Love.
What?
And we used to be promotional directors at Carbon Nightclub. And we did it. We did Carbon. We did Flamingos. We did our big parties were at Vinyl. And I had, you know, we had Orosoli the performing on the same stage with Big Pun and,
insane.
The whole Fat Joe thing, Fat Joe and Pun and everybody with Jay-Z. I had Jay-Z perform. That was my party.
Wait, you talking about the bottle incident? We won't get into that. But that, damn, dogs, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was my party.
What?
I had Allure. I had Orosolido performing. I had La Banda Gold, all kinds. We were the first ones to have Latin band performing with a hip hop or act, Nori, all that. We did all that shit. But that was because we were Latinos that liked hip hop.
Yeah.
And it was really nothing, everything, you know what I'm saying? So we had to do everything together. That's when the DJ spun the whole night and he had to spin Spanish music and hip hop at the same time. You know what I'm saying? On the same night.
That was like the golden era of the mix, of mixing the Latino side of music and the hip hop side.
Yeah. House, you'd, one DJ spun house, he spun merengue, he spun bachata, he spun salsa, he spun hip hop, he spun reggae. Mm-hmm. One guy. It wasn't 13 DJs sharing 2 hours like they do now, spinning the same records.
Yeah, that's insane, but, man. That's that progressive movement, man. Always thinking ahead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we always thought ahead. We always knew that our culture was gonna prevail and was gonna be something, brother. We too fly not to be, bro.
Yeah, nah, y'all killed it, man. Y'all killed it, and man, Vic, like you, the way y'all killed the music stuff is the way you killed this interview, bro. You destroyed this. For somebody that don't do interviews, bro, I am honored not only to have you, but honored to have you open up like this, bro. Because this is a real conversation and much needed, man, for real.
Yeah. You're only as good as the interviewer, brother. Thank you for throwing the alley-oop, brother.
I'm gonna go hit my saucy pipe later, man. Ooh, keep it on low, keep it on low.
We save that conversation for another time.
Well, Vic, bro, you killed it, and you showed us what it's like to be a father making moves in our culture, bro. Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate
your
time.
Thank you for having me, brother. Thank you for having me. It's an honor. Best of luck to you.
For sure, for sure. To the community, Vic just showed us that anything is possible when you hustle for it, but that none of it can compare to being a father to your child. Make your presence felt. Our lessons matter as much as the time we devote to them. Fatherhood is lit.